This is the podcast of Slices of America. Point your browser to slicesofamerica.com, where you can click through photo essays or even submit your own slice of America. That's slicesofamerica.com.
Hello, I'm Taylor Lesang, and this is Slices of America podcast number 6. Andrew Sninsky is a 63-year-old stage 3 multiple myeloma survivor and an avid cyclist. He turns his love of cycling into a quest for a cure by raising awareness about the disease. I sat down with Andrew tonight at the Joint Restaurant in the Bywater neighborhood of New Orleans. He told me his story over a few Abita Amber beers.
It's on.
This is the Slices of America podcast. I'm Taylor Lesang, and I'm sitting here with Andy
Sninsky.
Okay, I was worried I wasn't going to say it, so I just didn't say it.
Yeah.
All right. This is your month.
Yeah, the Slovak all the way. Okay. Ukrainian, Slovakia. Yeah. That's where my grandparents came from.
Wow. Were they bikers?
No.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
And we were just talking about your big trip.
And this trip is dedicated to a lot of friends that I have lost. And they suffer and have suffered through the same disease that I have. It's called multiple myeloma. It's a form of cancer of the blood and bones. It attacks blood and bones. And I was just telling you, I lost about almost 5 inches of height when it attacked me in 2007. I was living in Costa Rica when I began to feel a lot of pain, rib pain, back pain, spinal pain, and I didn't know what it was. And we went to the hospitals in Costa Rica, and they took x-rays as always, and I was swinging a machete in the jungle, and I thought I broke a rib. It never happened to me before. We lived in the jungle, my wife and I. When they couldn't find anything, it was February, March of 2007. I let it ride. We went up to the States, up here to California. Then in 2008, it never got better. It stayed painful, but no one could find it. We were now in Vienna, Austria. I told the doctors something is wrong with me, but I don't know what. The doctor said something is wrong with you, but we don't know what. And before I knew it, I was getting bombarded with tests for almost a month in the hospitals in Vienna, trying to find what was wrong with me, because I'm always outdoorsy, I'm always active, sea kayaking, whitewater rafting, all that stuff. And it was disturbing my life. It was things I couldn't do anymore. And so after about a month of testing, they found this little bug in me, and it's the bug of multiple myeloma. And it was done through blood tests. When it was finally diagnosed, it was 2008 May. I went immediately into radiation treatments. 10. Other people get 15. 10 radiation treatments, all in concentrated in my spine to stop the shrinkage. And that knocked me for a loop. Then we went after 10.
How did your body react to the radiation?
Burned skin on the spinal and the back, and just sick, you know. I was feeling nauseous all the time. And you weren't getting them. 15 treatments was over like 3 weeks, so it wasn't daily. It was
but almost
every other day.
Yeah.
And then I was so weak coming out of that they said, well, you need to take a few weeks off and then you'll come back and start chemotherapy. And the chemotherapy was a massive amount of drugs. I was in a trial study group. And so we went to a thousand-year-old monastery outside Vienna called Hillingenkreuz. And there, the monks adopted me because they needed a miracle for one of their abbots from World War II. Their abbot, they wanted a fast track like the Pope John Paul into sainthood because he saved the monastery of Hillingenkreuz.
So you needed a miracle, and they needed a miracle.
Yeah, and they're praying for, and this church has been around since before Pope Gregor in the 600 ADs. And it was the original family, the Babenberg family of Austria. And so it goes back 1,200 years, and they adopted me. And ever since they adopted me, it seems that I haven't gotten worse, and I'm probably better because there's a lot of 63-year-olds today who can't go out and ride from New Orleans to Jacksonville or from New Orleans down where you went, to Taylor, to Venice, and cruise around and enjoy the Delta of Louisiana and then come back and have an interview.
And well, what about the monk?
Well, there's about 15, 16 monks that, his name was...
The Fast Track.
The Fast Track. It takes, I don't know if you're Roman Catholic, it takes two miracles to, and so I'm miracle one.
Okay.
And they can't really use me until they get a second miracle. But they're doing real good by me.
Sure. No, for sure they are. And so I guess we should say that was a heck of a summary of the last couple of years. But we should say that we are in the Joint Barbecue Restaurant in the Bywater neighborhood of New Orleans. And you're just getting off the bike from a trip in southern Louisiana down here. And where did you start? Where did you start your trip in New Orleans? And what do you have left? What's going on?
I started right at the Bywater. I came in with, there's sort of the hobo connection of bike riders, and it's called warmshowers.com. In the old days, in the 30s, during the Depression, there was something called the hobo trail. And if they put a certain mark on a house, they knew that house was okay for them to go up and ask for something, or, you know, maybe a barn to sleep in or something. And this new thing off the internet is called warmshowers.com. It's for long-distance touring bicycle riders. It's bicycle riders who will accept, without knowing you, just by a few emails and say yay or nay to you, and there's two people in your neighborhood here in Bywater, Chris and Brittany, who opened their house to me, took me in for a couple of days while I was getting organized to push south, and then now I'm back for a couple of more days before I take off for Norco, where I have warmshowers.com, then Baton Rouge, I have three or four. I only have a week in Baton Rouge, so I have to spread myself around. And then Jackson, Mississippi. From Jackson, I'll drop down to Mobile. I have family in Mobile, so in Ocean Springs. So I'll spend a little time in Ocean Springs. Then I go back up to another meeting in Montgomery, Alabama. And then I come down to Tallahassee.
Well, talk about what's going on in Baton Rouge, because you're going to be in Baton Rouge for a week, but you have a meeting there, right?
Yeah.
So what's going on in Baton Rouge?
Next Wednesday, the 14th, is a meeting for other patients such as myself. This cancer attacks people, and because it's called multiple myeloma, it attacks people in a variety of ways. So not everybody has the same symptoms who has the disease. It attacks each person differently, and the treatments are different for each of them. I can't fault the monks. I can't fault the medicine I got, the medical treatment in Vienna or in California. and right now I'm in different studies because they just can't figure out how good I'm doing. But with going to Baton Rouge next week, there's these support groups all over the United States, sort of like AA, but not exactly the same because it deals with this type of cancer. There's 1 million or more of us in the United States who suffer from this disease. Worldwide, it's even naturally a bigger number. But with that million, it's pretty small compared to lung cancer and like that, but it's devastating to the families. And when I go to the meeting on Wednesday, and I just was looking at an email from the chairperson of the meeting, and she has also said, well, you're going to stay with me and Baton Rouge and the hot shower and dinner.
You're going to get the red carpet treatment.
Red carpet treatment. But I did it in Pittsburgh when I did the GAP and the CNO towpath last year. I stopped at the Pittsburgh meeting. And a lot of people are doing way worse than me, and some are actually doing better than me because there's a condition called smoldering myeloma. And that's where you have it, but it's hidden deep in you. And it hasn't blossomed. And I'm in the stage where it blossomed, and now they've thrown every drug at it in the world that they know of. And I've come through, but a lot of people don't come through as good as I came through. So I'm sort of a guinea pig.
Well, you've got that monk factor too.
I've got the monks of Helenkreis working for me.
So how did you come into New Orleans? Did you come in on the train?
Yeah, I came in with Amtrak. It was a great service. 2 days from
with your bike.
With the bike from the West Coast. And did a little rigging up here. I used Bayou Bicycles right here in town.
Good folks.
Nice guys.
Yep.
They helped me to get the bike ready, put it together for me out of the box, so I didn't have to go to Plan B. Looking on the internet, Plan B is a place where you can go in New Orleans and work on your bike, sort of a co-op.
Okay.
But I said, well, these guys are going to buy me the, or, you know, get me the accessories I need, so I'm just going to let them do everything. So it's been working great. They did a nice job, and now I'm ready to explore the rest of the South. I want to go to Vicksburg. I want to go to Jackson, Mississippi, naturally. I want to go Hattiesburg. I want to see a lot of places I've never seen. And what's great about my condition right now for a 63-year-old myeloma patient is I'm astounding most people, and I can go and do it. So if I can, I will.
Yeah, what the folks can't see because it's a podcast is that this is a very fit 63-year-old man with myeloma. You wouldn't know it, but I think this biking is a really good idea. You know, I think you found something that works for you, for sure.
I will agree 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
And the meeting in Baton Rouge next Wednesday will concern people, like I say, who aren't doing as well, some doing better. But what I found on the West Coast and in Europe is that other patients are inspired by what I'm doing. And so if I can inspire one or two or none, I'm inspiring myself. Because the other day I rode from Burris, Louisiana up to the Signete State Park.
Bayou Signete?
And that's about 70 miles, fully loaded.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of people who ride 70 miles anywhere fully loaded.
Or no load.
Yeah. And so I think for me, I'm going to keep doing it until the myeloma reflowers and I have to look at another Plan B, whatever that may be.
So just to lay out the next the things I want to talk about. I'm looking at your bike out the window here. I want to talk about your bike, what you carry. I want to talk about where you've been recently. Just in the last couple of days, what you saw, and I want to talk about the site where you host most of your journals and your bike stuff.
Okay.
So let's. I'm looking at your bike. What what do you carry on your bike on a trip like this?
Okay, it's a Trek 21 speed, and it's geared pretty low, so I can do really well in wind or up a hill. I was able to go over the Empire Bridge because the old Highway 11 bridge is still not reopened after Hurricane Katrina. But I went over the Empire Bridge and I was stopped on the top by Louisiana's finest. And they said, "What the heck are you doing up here?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to get down to Venice." And they said, "You know, it's not safe, but..." And the guy said, "I understand." So he put on his lights and he slowed the traffic down and let me go down ahead of him over the bridge. And my hats are off to Louisiana police that way.
When I made
parish down south, actually.
When I made that same trip in that same location, I was stopped by police no less than 5 times.
Only the ones on the bridge.
But it turns out they were a gas station was robbed during my trip.
I read that, yeah.
And they kept stopping you to ask me if I'd seen anything strange. Then they realized I was something strange, and they wanted to know what I was doing. Same thing. So, yeah, they're just looking for somebody to talk to and figure out what's going on.
The bike has panniers on the back, which hold most of my clothes and my laptop and my few maps that I need. And so I'm pretty self-contained. All my medicine's in there. I still take a variety of medicines. And I find that I'm not as strict about my medicines now as I was when I wasn't bike riding, but I feel better for it. But I keep them because if I start feeling worse, I want to at least have those to back up with.
Sure.
I tried to find front panniers in California, and I tried to find them in Louisiana, and BioBike said they'll have them in a couple of weeks. And so in the meantime, I needed a place to put my sleeping bag, which is the Fiberfill. So it weighs about 2 pounds. So I threw it. It's big and lofty, but it has no weight. So I got a basket from them and I threw it in the basket.
It doesn't compress down?
It does compress down, but I said the heck with it. I got the space. I'm just going to keep it on the front. And I don't have any trouble with balance or anything like that with the front rack as it is. So I feel good that I can carry. If you saw in my 1968, I have this picture of the Vietnamese with bicycles hauling a ton of rice on each bicycle of the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Whoa.
And so I'm carrying maybe, maximum here is 45 pounds front and rear tire, plus me. And
Total? Well, not just gear. You think it's 45?
Yeah.
Total
gear is about 45 pounds, and I weigh about 166. So you're right around 210 pounds. And the bike is built for 260, somebody in the 260-pound range. So I've got lots of cushion.
Have you had any good luck with tires? I don't want to jinx you, but...
Yeah, excellent. I have gone... I'm riding the inner tubes, the Presta valve.
Yeah.
And at Bayou Bikes, they found I had a slow leak in one tire, and they replaced it for free. But they forgot to put the adapter on for the Schraders for the gas station.
Yeah.
But I have the pump that matches. But I rode down, and now I'm back, and no flats. I had absolutely no flats anywhere. But I did take pictures of the old highway when I was first riding in Louisiana in 1968 on a transcontinental trip. What I remember mostly about Louisiana was crushed oyster shell roads. And the only place I saw crushed oyster shells down south was just below Port Sulphur. And it's only the shoulder because they have these concrete slabs, 20 feet in a break, 20 feet in a break. So you're constantly going thump, 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 you know, every third pedal.
Yep, this is 2012. If we still had oyster roads, there would be some complaints.
Yeah. But the oyster, I was riding in 1968 on my transcontinental trip that went from Compton, California to Miami to New York City as a 19-year-old. And when I hit Louisiana, I had some of the best times, but the worst roads that I can remember.
I think you just inadvertently came up with a new slogan for Louisiana: great times, bad roads. that's a bumper sticker waiting to happen. So that's your bike. What do you do with the electronics? I see you have a harness for, you said, your phone?
Yeah, I have one side for the phone, which is...
on the handlebar.
Up on the handlebar. It's I got them off Amazon.com. They're $3. They're dirt cheap, and they work great. And then I found that it fits my camera. The problem with always putting your camera away is when you want that quick photo of a snake or a this or that, you got to dig in your backpack or your pannier and find it. Or you wear a fanny pack and put it in there. But still, you got things to unzip. So I have it right here up on the handlebars, and I can snap photos. And I think the website proves it, that wherever I am, I can find a photo of something. And that leads to the website.
What a good segue. So yeah, let's talk about this. Where can folks find your journals and your pictures and all that stuff?
Yeah, it's a great website that I found when I was looking for things like Taylor's information. Only it was called Crazy Guy on a Bike, and I don't know how I found it. .com.
Yeah.
I don't know how I found it, but I loved it from the get-go. And the earliest that I've been able to find is some people in the 70s were riding bicycles coast to coast, and they have their journals there. But I was able to knock it back another decade, and my trip was 1968. And crazyguyonabike.com has around 6,000 journals. So anywhere in the world, not only the United States, but there are people right now traveling literally around the world and posting to crazyguyonabike and .com. And I'm fascinated that they're doing so much with a bicycle and so much with adventure and so much with inner strength to allow them to actually wait at the end of the day or when they get to someplace with Wi-Fi and actually post. Because while I was down south, if I didn't have my layover day in Burris, I wouldn't have posted nearly as much as I did because I was pooped.
Yeah. How many miles?
It's around 200 miles round trip to go down to Venice and back, 100 each way. And I started right here in Bywater, and went out to your first drawbridge here, and I was fascinated because it was lifting when I got there, so I had at least 15 minutes to take pictures, which are posted. And the other end of my post is I'm called Bulk Andy. I'm Andy Sninsky, but when I lived in Costa Rica, that's when internet started in the late 80s, and I realized I was living right next to one of the most active volcanoes in the world called Arenal in Costa Rica, at the base of it. And so I looked at Volcan, and then I said D-Y, Volcandy.
I thought it had something to do with Star Trek.
Nope.
I thought it was Vulcan.
Nope. It's like volcano in Spanish. And so I've had a charmed life. I've traveled from Europe to Central America, South America, all with adventure sports, whitewater rafting, kayaking, sea kayaking, bicycling. I started the earliest I had thrown away my bicycle. I actually donated to a cousin in 1967 when I got my driver's license. And I said, I'm never gonna bike again. And then a very good friend, Terry Matthews, the guy in my 1968 journal. He was 24. He wanted to ride across the United States. He went through all his older friends, worked his way down, and got to me and said, "Hey, kid, you want to take a bike ride?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Across the United States." I said, "No problem, but I want to see an alligator." I didn't realize I'd start seeing alligators in East Texas and not stop seeing them until North Carolina. And I actually saw an alligator out at the Signete Park yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah. So I'm up to my elbows in alligators and feeling good about Louisiana and all the people here. I had no trouble on the highway. People give me plenty of room. The shoulders are wide now. The oyster shell, when it happens, is pretty minimal. And I'm enjoying thoroughly my revisit after nearly 50 years of coming back to Louisiana.
That's amazing. And where does your southern tour put you? Where do you end up?
I will end up in Jacksonville, Florida, on the Atlantic Ocean. So I'll have touched the Gulf.
Yeah.
I haven't done the rear tire in the Gulf because I've been there and done that. But I want to do all the Gulf Coast. I want to get up into Jackson and Vicksburg, Mississippi, and then cross into Hattiesburg. There's two trails that open. The longest trail, bicycle trail, east of the Mississippi in the United States is down south here. It starts in Natchez, Mississippi, and goes up to Nashville.
The Natchez Trace.
Right. And the other one that a lot of people don't know about is called the Longleaf Trace, and it goes from Prentice, Mississippi, down to Hattiesburg, where the University of Mississippi is.
Right.
And then I'm going to drop down and visit family in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and then go up to a meeting in Montgomery, Alabama. So I'm not exactly doing a straight route. By the time I'm done, I'll probably have 1,000 miles, where it would only be about 600 normally.
Yeah, you're zigzagging.
But I have the time, and I have the energy to do it. And I have...
And you have the health.
And and so I can't fault the monks, the doctors, and my inner fortitude, which allows me to think that each day can only be a little better. And again, I've seen and I've gone to the funerals of people who mean a lot to me, meant a lot to me, and they had the same disease that I have, multiple myeloma. And if I can be an inspiration, then I will. If I can help people to say it's not the end of the world to have cancer, whether it's multiple myeloma or lung cancer or pancreatic, or there's a variety there. It's almost a potpourri of cancers that are out there.
It's become commonplace to know someone with cancer.
Sure. And so I'm living proof that you don't have to give up, that you can fight it and at times feel you're winning. And I know that the day is going to come when I go out of what's called complete response, which you might call remission. And when that day comes, I have to fight it again. But right now, I have minimal drugs that I have to take. And those that I do take, I take not as frequently as the doctors would like, but I'm a busy guy on a bicycle.
You got a lot of miles to make.
And I feel good not taking them, but I also feel good when I sit down and I take them because I have them in my pack, and come to think of it, right now I'm going to take them.
Okay, yeah.
There's about 7 of them.
Chase a few of those pills with that Abita Amber.
Abita Amber, yeah.
You know, that makes me think about food and drink. What are you packing on your trips? What are you eating? What are you drinking?
I fell in love with those G drinks.
The Gatorade thing?
Yeah, the Gatorade stuff. And that's. But I don't take that daily. That's
pulling
about,
out quite a big bag of diverse pills from tiny to giant. I don't know how you swallow that one.
I call that the horse pill.
Jeez.
But I only take about 5 a day. And I take them right now about every second day. So that I've missed last night because I was having too much fun in the campground in Signetta. And that's pretty much it. There's some magnesium, there's a cholesterol pill. The doctor says I have, as much as I ride, I still have high cholesterol.
Cheers. So you like the G drink, you like the Gatorade drink. What about food? Do you pack some food with you? You must have something. Burning some calories out there. He's finishing off his pills. Give him a second, please.
I am actually finding myself eating out more than packing. So I don't have a stove. I don't have any of that. And I ate at Estralita's, some great Louisiana fare.
Where is it? I saw the pictures, but Estralita's, where is this?
It's about a mile outside, less than a mile, half a mile outside of the state park entrance at Signetta. And it's on the, what would be the south side of the highway. It's the main highway. And I can't remember the name of
it. Okay, so it's just outside of Bayou Signet, yeah.
Yeah, and it's in the Winn-Dixie parking, like the whole Winn-Dixie complex, but it's around back. And the lady's been there 21 years, and the food is excellent and super cheap. And
you had the
red beans
and rice?
Yeah, with sausage.
Sausage.
So I don't have a dietetic intake that's any problem. And I carry some Gorp with me. I munch on a candy bar when I run into it, but otherwise I eat pretty healthy.
Okay.
Here I am at the joint having white chicken meat instead of ribs. I had those last time I was here.
Yeah, we love this spot. That we talked about that earlier when we weren't on the mic yet, but I've been here 3 times this week now. The joint. And they just relocated here. They were all the way on the on the canal, and they've moved here, bigger spot. It's great stuff. Now I wasn't sure if you were raising any money for your cause or if you were just raising awareness for your cause.
Well, this March 2012 is International Multiple Myeloma Awareness Month. And yes, you can raise money, and I have a website on the International Myeloma Foundation web page, and that's under fundraisers, and it has a different story than my journal for Crazy Guy on the Bike. It's more the medical side and what I went through with the chemos and the melphalons and the all the different drugs and radiation. So it's more geared to people, the caregivers and the patients, that not to give up. And that has a donate button to it. And that donate button is actually working pretty well. Each of my trips, I get the donations in. It doesn't come to me. It goes right to the research aspects of multiple myeloma.
And just to be clear, how can folks find that?
If you hand me that card again, I can read it.
Oh, okay. Right.
Or I'm going to turn it around because I don't have my glasses. So
okay.
You can tell them.
To find the donate button, we go to Bicycle Mojave. Is that right?
That's the desert in California.
Right. Bicycle Mojave. That's BicycleMojave. Myeloma, myeloma.org. And once you navigate there, you can just make your contributions.
Hit the donate button and everything is appreciated.
Sure.
And what it goes towards is new treatments. There are almost daily new drugs that are being fabricated that will extend our lives. Nothing has found the cure yet, but if they can extend our lives, now it gets into the world like 20 years ago, Magic Johnson, as an example, was diagnosed with AIDS. And AIDS isn't the killer it was in the 80s. It's a chronic disease now. The average lifespan of a myeloma patient after diagnosis is around 5 years. I'm in my fourth year. I plan to go 5 and 5. If I can get 10 out of it, I'll be happy. If I can get the 5, I'll be happy. But it's not for me, these donations. It's for the persons who follow me, because they're the ones that need the help now. They don't know they have the disease. You won't know you have it until the doctor says, I got some bad news. And it tends to happen to people in their 50s and 60s. It's not like something they can cut out. It's not like something they can find right away. But when they find it, it's earth-shattering to you as a patient and to your significant others. They can't believe that someone so energetic is now carrying something that is going to kill them. And on my death certificate, I already know what it's going to say. It's going to say I died of multiple myeloma. And it's kind of sad that way, because there is no cure yet. But I am confident that if I keep up with the bicycling and keep up with activities that allow me to feel that I'm contributing, such as this, this blog, I can tell other people it's not the end of the world, and just keep moving forward, and that's what I do.
Andy, you've been an inspiration, man. This has been amazing. This has been so much better than I even imagined, and it's been great to sit here with you and talk about this.
I'm gonna
watch every move you make from now on. It's going to be great.
Well, I can say that the reason I went south, Taylor, is because of your website.
Slices of America.
Slicesofamerica.com. And I found you just by putting in New Orleans to Venice bicycle.
Right.
And up you came. You were the first one. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do that trip, because my name is Andy. And Andy Jackson, as a seventh president of the United States, was my sort of, because there were a couple other Andrews, but Jackson was the one that kind of stuck in my brain.
Okay.
And he was known as Old Hickory,
right,
because he was tough like a hickory stick. And I'm trying to emulate him by being just as tough as Old Hickory.
I think you could have whooped his ass. I'm not even kidding. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you, Dave.
It's been a pleasure. I wish you all all the best. And I can't wait to see the rest of your blogs. All right?
And my blog's on Let the Good Times Roll on the Crazy Guy on the Bike website. Those will, as long as I find a Wi-Fi connection, every 2 or 3 days I'll update. I've been fortunate, and every other day I found a spot that allows me to make the updates. And so in 1968, when I did the trip, we had to call home to tell our parents that we were still alive, because they gave us the permission to go.
Sure. How old were you in 68?
19.
Yeah, that's young for a cross-country trip.
And so about once a week we called home, and now I can call home with a cell phone, with internet. I can post my journals. With traveling, I feel that I have my whole family and all my friends in this little piece of plastic that opens up the world to you, called the cell phone, and it has the internet on it and all that. But with the laptop, I can write out the journals and just have a ball doing it, because I know it's good for me. And And now I know it's good for you and all of you people. So enjoy my journals. Follow me up into Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, and beyond.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
To find Andrew's other online journals, go to crazyguyonabike.com and search for Andrew Sninsky. You can also go to bicyclemojave.myeloma.org to donate directly to the International Myeloma Foundation.
You have been listening to Slices of America, the podcast. Visit us at www.slicesofamerica.com and submit your slice of America.